Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So today we're going to preach about and teach about that last part of the verse that his mother taught him. His mother taught him. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now throughout the remainder and probably some more, we're going to actually see what she taught him. But right now what we're going to do is look at the fact that the Bible shows us that mothers have a very strong teaching influence over their sons. I mean, the wisdom of King Lemuel was from the prophecy that his mother taught him. And that shows you the importance of good mama training. Good mama training of her boys. We often think of mothers training their daughters and fathers training their sons, but there's an influence that mamas have with their boys that cannot be ignored when you study the Bible. Now, what's she going to train them? What's mama going to train them? You're a mama, you're listening, you're a boy, you're listening. What is it that mama should have trained you? What is it that mama should train you? You're a woman, you hope to have sons one day. What is it? What are you supposed to do for them? Well, this verse will show us one of the things, but we want to deal with it later. We're actually going to depart from the text now to go look at some places where we find mamas training their boys. And the first place we're going to look is 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Now, mama, what should you be training your boy? Or young woman, what should you be prepared to train your son when he is born? Now, the first thing we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, Paul is telling Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Well, then the first thing that mamas are supposed to do for their boys is to train them from a child in the scriptures. And that's what happened to Timothy. Paul wasn't around when Timothy was a child to train him. We found in the Bible that he met up with Timothy after Timothy was older. I mean, he was still a young man, but he wasn't a child. So his mama, and we'll see this in another verse here in a minute, trained him in the Holy Scriptures and showed him the way of salvation. Well, the best place for kids to learn the Bible is at home. Now, hey, we have Master's Club here at the church, and that's a good place for the children to learn some Bible. We have Sunday school at the church, and that's a good place for children to learn the Bible. We have toddlers' church, and we have children's church. That's a good place for children to learn the Bible. We have Sunday night services where everybody's together, and the children hear the Bible taught, and that's a good place for children to learn the Bible. But let me tell you something. Master's Club is less than an hour on Wednesday night, and Sunday school is less than an hour on Sunday morning, and children's church is just a, 10-15 minute lesson with all the other activities on Sunday morning. And Sunday night, maybe a full 45 minutes, maybe an hour of teaching. All right, you add all that up, which I didn't do, but you're talking about 3, at the most 4 hours of spiritual training in an entire week. How many hours are in a week? Well, there's 24 in a day and 7 days in a week. And so that's going to be 168 hours, 168 hours. And you say four of those a teacher is going to be, or three of those a teacher in a church is going to be there trying to teach your children and everybody else that's in there the Bible. Well, let me tell you something. That is only to supplement and confirm what they've already learned at home. They ought to be spending some time with you learning that Bible. You ought to be spending some time with them, teaching them that Bible. So get to know that Bible yourself and teach it to them, so that when they hear it at church, it won't be strange to them. You see? Now, that's a good idea. We have preachers that come in from time to time and preach here at the church. And one of the benefits to me as pastor of the church is that the folks will hear much of the same things preached and illustrated a different way by another man, only confirming that what they've been hearing is so, that their pastor is not alone in the things that he believes. And that's the way it is in your church. When your pastor preaches and then a visiting preacher comes in, it should confirm from the Word of God that he's been teaching and preaching the words of God to you in truth. So get to know that Bible and teach your children so that when they hear the Bible at church, it won't be strange to them. One preacher told me in his church that he had up in Washington State, he told me at one time there were less than 4% of the entire population of that state that went to any kind of church, no matter what, any kind of church. And so that many of the people that went to church there were unfamiliar with the simplest and basic stories that we all know about the Bible, stuff about David and Goliath and Noah's flood and Abraham, and they didn't know any of that stuff. And so he had to go through and actually begin to teach them about these major characters and major events of the Bible. You know what the problem was? Not only did they not go to church when they were children to learn these things, their parents didn't teach them these things. Now, salvation is best given to a child at home. Salvation at camp, youth camp, that's great. I mean, that's a good reason to take some kids there so they can hear and get under a lot of conviction and get saved. And salvation at Vacation Bible School, there are many folks that were saved at Vacation Bible School. But you know that kind of work can be shallow work. And later on, people that were saved at youth camp or saved in Vacation Bible School, they're not really sure whether they got saved or not when they get older. Sometimes they did, and they're just strayed. Sometimes they didn't. And they need to get saved. But when you're led to the Lord by your mother at home, after she spent diligent time with you in coming to an understanding of what salvation really is and of your need of salvation, and then you get saved, that's good, because then you are trained in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you understand what it is to be saved. We had a little girl in church. Family lives a distance from here. But they were coming, and she started making inquiries about salvation. And so her parents wanted me to lead her to the Lord. And I said, well, no, I don't know. I said, you know, the best thing to do now is that she is aware of the need of salvation. I said, what you need to do is you need to begin to read the Bible with her at home and pray with her and continue to bring her to church so that she can hear these things. And I said, you know, one day she is going to basically come to you kicking and screaming. And I use that as an exaggeration, but I think you understand it. Kicking and screaming that she needs to get saved because she doesn't want to go to hell. And at that point, she's going to realize that she can go to hell for her sins, that she will go to hell for her sins. She'll understand that she has a need of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, and that the only way she's going to get out of hell is to get saved, and that he died for her, and he will give her his righteousness and take away her sin. And I'll tell you, one day that little old girl jumped up in the bed with her parents, and I mean, she began to cry and she began to plead with them to lead her to Jesus. And they asked her why, and she said, I just don't want to go to hell. I just, no way, I have to get saved. And she knew then that if she were to die, she would wind up with the devil in hell. She didn't want to go there. And so this went on, see, like for almost 2 years, and then finally she got saved. And when she got saved, man, she understood what it was to be saved. And that was a beautiful and wonderful thing. Now, she won't grow up to doubt her salvation. Oh, I suppose if she doesn't stay in church, if she doesn't read the Bible and have these things reinforced, and she really strays from the Lord and gets backslidden, she may have doubt because of that, but she won't have any doubt because she didn't understand what she was doing when she was younger and she got saved. So the best place for you, Mama, to have an influence over your children, first of all, is at home in the Scriptures to show them how to be saved. Now listen, don't you just send them to church. You go with them to church. I realize bus ministries are good, but let me tell you something. You need to get up, and you need to go with them, and you need to sit with them in church, and you need to allow them to see salvation is good for Mama. And so don't you just send them. You go with them. All right, now what's the second thing? What can a mother teach her son 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul says to Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." All right, what did Paul see in Timothy that he got from his grandmother and from his mother? He saw unfeigned faith. All right, then his mama and his grandmother trained Timothy in unfeigned faith. Now, unfeigned faith means that it's not fake. It's not hypocritical. I coached soccer for about 12 years, and they had something called a feint. A feint, not F-A-I-N-T, like you pass out, but a feint, like you fake, see? And so that's the same word. That feint in soccer is like this unfeigned faith here. That is, it's not fake. It's real. Now, what happens so often with women, and it's particularly true of women because they are aware, perhaps more so than their husbands, of their outward appearance. And so they're very careful around church to look good. All right? But once they get away from church and they're back in their familiar environment at home or in the car on the way away from church, they're not as careful oftentimes to look good because they then act like they really are. And, you know, I'll tell you, there are many a mama that has tragically trained their children in feigned faith because they look good at church, and then when they get in the car to drive away from church, they start bad-mouthing everybody. And when you get home, they bad-mouth the preacher and they bad-mouth somebody else in the church they don't like. And you know what that trains the children? Well, they watch you at church. That trains the children to act one way at church and then the way they really are when they get away from church. And so the faith now is feigned. If the only time that the children see you pray is over food and not any other time, then you know what they're going to get? They're going to get a feigned faith. They're not going to understand that Jesus Christ is real at church, and Jesus Christ is real at home, and Jesus Christ is real in play, and Jesus Christ is real at work, and Jesus Christ is real everywhere and in every way. They're not going to see that in you. They're only going to see you playing Christ at church. And everywhere else, you're going to be up to your old shenanigans, your old fleshly way of doing things. Listen, children need to see that faith is real. Years ago, and I've used this illustration a few times, but years ago on a program of Focus on the Family, there was a lady named Jenny Christensen who gave a testimony of her salvation, and it is absolutely glorious how she and her husband got saved. They were saved back in the Depression, and it's a lengthy testimony, and I won't give it all to you here. What happened essentially, though, after they got saved is that her husband had gambling debts to pay off, and he was determined to pay them off at the expense of the comforts of his own family so that he would not be a bad testimony if he ever had a chance to see these people get saved. So he paid his debt, and when he did, his family had to starve. They ate pea soup all the time, and it got disgusting. One day, Jenny's daughter went downstairs in the apartment where they lived, and one of the little girls who had plenty of money was talking about the fact that a couple they had invited over after church that day didn't show up, and that the little girl had to eat an entire spring chicken all by herself. And Jenny's daughter had never had anything but pea soup for lunch and pea soup with sausage in it for Sunday lunch. And, I mean, the little girl just broke down in tears and cried to her mama. And so her mama read a tract that somebody had given her one day, and it said, "You have not because you ask not." And so Jenny and her daughter covenanted with God that they would ask God to give them a chicken to eat for Sunday lunch by next Sunday. They'd have to have it by Saturday. Well, the whole week went by. They prayed with great anticipation, but Saturday afternoon came when Jenny's husband was to take off for the market to go buy the sausage that would be cut up and put into the pea soup the next day. And when he got ready to get his hat and coat and got ready to go, Jenny asked him where he was going. He said, "Well, I'm going to the market like I always do this time on Saturday." She said, "Well, don't go yet." And he said, "Well, are you crazy? Is something wrong?" She said, "No, just sit still a little while. I want you to go a little later today." And about that time, the doorbell rang, and she ran down the stairs, and at the entrance to her apartment building was her brother, and he had two bushel baskets filled with fresh vegetables, like she had never seen in years, that he had harvested from his farm. She lived in Chicago, and he lived, I think, in Iowa. Anyway, she was just amazed at this beautiful, glorious display of all these vegetables that he had brought. And she said, "Well, what are you doing here?" He said, "Well, I want to come see the Chicago's World Fair, and I brought you all this produce so, you know, I wouldn't put you out." And she said, "Well, I see all that. It's beautiful and glorious, but where's the chicken?" And he said, "Well, how did you know about the chicken?" And she said, "Just where is it?" And he said, "Well, I brought you two of them. They're down in the bottom of this first basket." Boy, she reached in there and grabbed up those chickens and ran up those stairs and threw them in the lap of her daughter. And they just wept in joy that God had provided an answer to their prayer. You know what that little girl saw? She saw a life of faith, and they lived that way after they got saved. It was real to them, not feigned, real. Mama, you fuss with your husband about the money that he brings home and the money you don't have and the credit cards y'all are living on and all these other problems. When are you going to let your sons see that they must depend upon God for everything in order to be able to have the supply of their need for the rest of their lives? They're going to learn that at the very earliest ages when they watch you on your knees making supplication to God for the provisions of that day and then see those provisions come as an answer to those prayers. And no other way. They'll never believe it from the pulpit nearly like they will from watching it in action under your apron strings. So what are you going to do, Mama? What are you going to do? That's the best way to train your boys. All right, I'll tell you another thing you can train them in. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 8. Mama, how are you going to train that son of yours? You say, "Well, I was leaving it up to Papa." Well, Papa can't show him everything he needs to see. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." Well, there's some of it. But look at this, "and forsake not the law of thy mother." You know what they're going to have to learn from you? Obedience. The law of thy mother. They're going to have to learn obedience. And, you know, I can remember some boys talking about their mamas, and their mamas were tough. And they said, "Yes, she laid down the law for us." You see that expression? That expression comes right here from the Bible. Now, you watch these teens when they get old enough and they gain control of their mamas. You know what the problem is? They've never been trained to obey. They've never been trained to obey. And so, consequently, they're old enough now to throw mama down on the ground if they want to. And they're not going to do that, more times than not, at least, thank God. But mama's now all of a sudden got to get this teen to obey, and it's too late. It's too late, you see. She let him get away with little things here and there when he was small enough to handle. Now he's too big to handle, and now he rules the roost. I've watched it. I've watched some teens head south that were grown up in Christian homes, and I'm telling you, they are living like the world. They're living like gangsters. They're living like little whores. And I'll tell you what, a great part of this problem goes right back onto mama. It really does, because she let them get away with stuff when they were younger. Listen, you better learn right now, mama, that your children are watching you from a very young age, and they're going to see whether or not you obey God. Look, they're going to learn whether to obey by whether or not you obey your husband. And if you're not obeying God, and they hear the preacher, they know what you're supposed to be doing. And if you're not obeying your husband, but you're contending with him and trying to wear the pants in the family and trying to get him to hearken unto your voice, just like Sarah got Abraham to hearken unto her voice whenever he had Ishmael by Hagar, and how Adam hearkened unto the voice of Eve whenever he disobeyed God and ate the fruit, okay, and then you're going to cause your husband to disobey God by putting down the law for him. Your children are going to grow up to be disobedient. You're going to scratch your head and wonder how in the world it happened. They learned it from you. You obey God and you obey your husband. It's still in the vows. Whenever I marry folks, I've got the vows here that I use to marry them, and when I'm talking to that girl and I'm talking to her about what she decides she's going to do with her husband, she takes her vow. This is what she says: "I take you to be my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love, to cherish, and to obey, till death do us part according to God's holy ordinance, and thereto I pledge you my faithfulness." Some people say, "I don't like that in the vow." Well, then don't get married in the church. Don't get married by God. You get married down there by the JP. And then you see how it goes. You'll spend more money on divorce court than you ever spent on a home mortgage. Let me tell you something. You learn to obey, so your children will follow you and learn to obey. And you start those children obeying you because you're being obedient. That's what the centurion told Jesus Christ when he asked him to come to heal his servant. He says, I'm a man under authority. The centurion said, I'm a man under authority. And then I tell my people what to do, and they do it. You've got to be under the authority of God and under the authority of your husband, and then you can expect your children to be under your authority. And you train them, and you start just as soon as you get them home from the hospital. Train them to obey on the first command, and train them that there are consequences to disobedience. It is the law, the Bible says, of thy mother. If they learn the law of thy mother, if they learn the law of mama, they'll be able to keep the law of the land. They'll be able to keep the law of God. You're the one that's going to train them in that. You see, King Lemuel, the Bible says, his mother taught him. You can train your children in the Scriptures to salvation. You can train them in unfeigned faith. You can train them in obedience. I'll tell you something you train them in. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, you train them in wisdom. And that is coupled with the rod of reproof. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bring his mother to shame. The rod and reproof give wisdom. You train him in wisdom, coupled with the rod of reproof. He'll learn the love of the chastening hand. He might as well get used to it, because in his relationship with God Almighty, he's going to be under the scourge. He's going to be under the chastening hand of God, so that he will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness, and he needs to learn that from his mother as well. One fellow said, my mother was very patriotic. She was all for the stars and the stripes. She laid down the stripes and I saw the stars. Well, there you go. There you go. You want to raise a good American citizen, then sometimes it takes some stars and stripes at home, you see. I remember one time I was visiting with a friend of mine, and he and his wife and my wife and I were sitting down having supper after church on a Sunday night. Their little bitty daughter was there, and she was sitting at the table, and her mother had told her, now don't touch the salt and pepper shaker. And she was old enough to understand that. She was very small, but she was old enough to understand that. Well, we got involved in a very, very wonderful conversation, very engaging conversation, so that the mother kind of quit looking at the little girl for just a little while, and that little girl took that opportunity to try to slide her hand over there and touch that salt and pepper shaker. And I mean, just as soon as her little finger made contact with the shaker, out from the purse came a little thin dowel rod about a foot long, and I mean whack down on that hand and right back into that purse quicker than you could even see it, quicker than the blink of an eye. And that little girl just slid that hand back off that table and set it right down in her lap. And I'm telling you, she never reached for that salt and pepper shaker again. She didn't cry. There was no welt. There was no bruise. But I am telling you, the rod of reproof applied to that little hand at a very early age caused that little girl to understand, when mama says, then mama means, and you do it. Boy, that little girl got some wisdom. Now I'm going to tell you something. That little girl grows up, and she is going to be able to hear God give a command and understand that God has a chastening rod, and she's going to obey God on the first command. Listen, wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord, right? If the fear doesn't start with fearing you, mom, then it will never end up with fearing God. So you're the one. Now I realize dad has some responsibility here, but this text that we're reading today in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1 says, his mother taught him. So don't abrogate your duty. You've got a job to do. Don't expect them to learn it in school. Even if they go to a Christian school, they'll never learn it like they'll learn it at home. All right, and then finally this. What's she going to train them? Well, she's going to train them about wine and women. In Proverbs chapter 31, right after the verse we're studying today, the verses go on to say, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. And then he starts talking about strong drink. The companion passages to these are found in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 25 through 35. We won't read them all. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 25 to 35. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now that'd be the mama or the daddy speaking. Look what he says in verse 27. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. I'm telling you, man, mama starts explaining to the boy at a very early age the difference between a lady and a whore, and she starts training him in the rest of Proverbs chapter 23 all about what wine will do to you. You know, I saw a little cousin of mine the other day, and what I saw was all done in fun. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a serious side to what I saw. We were at a wedding reception, and the little 1.5-year-old cousin had a glass of water in front of it. And in front of him, he smiled and turned and looked at me and said, "Cocktail." And another cousin just kind of giggled and said, "You know, we sort of train them young in this family, don't we?" Well, let me tell you something. You know, it all sounds funny. It all sounds cute. But think about it. Think about it. What is he learning from a very early age? You see, that cocktails are the right things to drink. I have a friend of mine who is in a ministry to troubled youth, and he told me when he was a little boy, his mom would not even call root beer, because it had the word beer in it, and she didn't want them to ever get the idea that they should drink beer and get the association at a young age that root beer is okay, therefore beer with alcohol in it is okay. So she called it root ale. Now you say that seems a little ridiculous. You're training them. They're your boys. And I'll tell you what, they're a lot easier to train at an early age concerning that wine than they are to break of that habit in a rehab center or in a prison. She didn't want them confusing root beer with alcohol. So you see the difference. I have a friend of mine who's in the ministry. He told me his mother taught him to play poker and to drink. Well, now that's not what a woman ought to be teaching her children to do. He said if it hadn't been for a preacher preaching a radio broadcast when he was playing the records, he'd never gotten saved. He would have ended up in hell if he had to depend upon the training he got at home. Now, who better to understand a woman and the wiles of a woman than a woman? You're a woman, Mama. And if you want those boys to understand how to stay out of trouble with women, you're going to have to show them, because you, better than anybody, has a vested interest in that boy. In that boy. Now, listen, Mom. Do those things, Mom, and you will have done good by your sons. You will have done well by your boys. It's all up to you. It's all up to you. Their salvation, their unfeigned faith, their obedience, their wisdom with reproof, and this truth about wine and women, that's going to come right out of your training. Don't forsake and abrogate your training, Mama.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.